Well, good morning, my friends, and welcome to the Heritage Hour. I'm Mark Gonzalez, your pastoral encourager here in Southwest Florida, and I'm so delighted to be with you on air, online, and in media ministry for over 30 years now. So thank you for sitting with me at the feet of the Lord to listen for His heart to touch our hearts. Well, if you've had the chance to be with us, you know that we're working through a four-part series for this season of Christmas. We're talking about a portrait of the Lord that I call, He is our eternal hope. Oh, when you think about the Lord this Christmas, remember, He is our eternal hope. It's why we celebrate His advent or coming to this earth, so that He could pass along the eternal hope that only He can give through His Son, Jesus Christ. And so, if you've had the chance to be with us, you know that we are working through this four-part series by seeing that the Lord, our eternal hope, strengthens our fragile hope. That's number one, if you're a note taker a couple of times ago. And we saw this in John 1, how this whole plan started in eternity past, amazingly, and He unfolded it. And what we celebrate is the Christmas season. Isaiah's prophecy talks about the wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, and Prince of Peace to come. Zacharias got the first visitation of an angel after 400 years silence. All of these time periods had seasons of fragile hope, which is pretty prevalent in all of us, right? That's why I just love how the Lord, our eternal hope, is always there for us as He strengthens our fragile hope. And then, secondly, we saw how He blesses our humble hope. We looked at Mary, her response when the angel Gabriel visited her. We saw this in Luke chapter 1 last time, and it culminates with what we call the Magnificat, an incredible just burst of praise and adoration of the Lord and thankfulness and utter humility. Well, now we're coming to the life of Joseph and his story. And not only does the Lord, our eternal hope, strengthen our fragile hope, but He blesses our humble hope and He honors our trustful hope. And we're going to see an extraordinary level of trust coming through the life of Joseph as he's responding to everything that is unfolding in the Christmas story. So if you have your Bibles, may I invite you to go to Matthew chapter 1. And as you're making your way there, just a quick reminder that these 27-minute broadcasts are archived on my website, which is called Helping You Hear God, by the way. And they're there at markpg.org. And on the landing page, just click on the box of selections there that says broadcasts. The others say articles, says printed guides, videos. Those are 3-minute videos on portraits of God. You know, you have all kinds of options there to help you hear God. But click on the broadcast box and then click on the box that says portraits of God, and you'll have the list of these archived radio broadcasts. So, as is our custom, as we get ready to take a journey through the scriptures in Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through 25, to see Joseph's trustful hope, oh, let's just go before the Lord and ask Him to speak, shall we? Well, Lord, I love coming together with my brothers and sisters. Lord, I love sitting at Your feet. I love listening for Your heart. And Lord, I pray I can do an adequate job, you know, to really unpack the extraordinary thing that You did through the life of Joseph, how we see his heart, how we see his struggle, and how we can so identify with him. So, Lord, I ask that You will open our hearts to receive everything that You have for us today as we continue our journey in seeing You as our eternal hope. And we pray this in the powerful name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by His precious cleansing and healing, transforming, empowering, and forgiving blood. Amen. Amen and amen. All right, my friends, as we get ready to take a look at what happened to Joseph and how he responded, I just got to say, in fact, this idea came from my pastor. I was in our church a couple of Sundays ago, and he talked some about Joseph, and he made this remark and that I hadn't thought much about. He said, you know, he asked this question. He said, now, how many of you can name some Christmas carols that have Mary in it? And we came up with several. Then he said, now, how about how many have Joseph? And we couldn't come up with any. He said, you know, we need to give Joseph some love. And I just loved that. It was a great way to introduce the message. And so I borrow it from him, and I share that with you as we try to give Joseph some love here and appreciation for what he went through. So let's look at it. Matthew chapter 1, verse 18 and following. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, we're going to talk about betrothal in a minute, before they came together, she was found to be with child by the Holy Spirit. All right, well, this introduces the whole story. I mean, first of all, we got to understand that betrothal was one step further along than what we call engagement, but it was kind of a half a step short of actual marriage. And that's going to be critical because we're going to see later in the passage that he took her as his wife. But wait a minute, wasn't he already his wife? Well, yes and no. Basically, let me just explain it as clearly as I can. So betrothal was practiced in that day, where a young man would make a proposal of marriage to the young lady's father. And if the father agreed with that proposal, then the custom was that they'd both take a sip from a cup of wine that was there on the table before them. And that would be their way of saying, hey, I accept this proposal. But then the young lady would be brought in, and probably her mother as well, for the young man to make the proposal all over again to her. And if she agreed to the proposal of marriage, then she would take a sip from that cup, and the young man would do likewise. And at that moment, they would become betrothed, which means it's more than just promising to get married. It was actually, you are now considered to be in, I'm going to say, quasi-covenant, because in order to dissolve it, you had to get a divorce. And yet there's still that next step of actual marriage covenant. So it's kind of a quasi-covenant, which makes it a concept and a practice that was halfway between our engagement, which is just a promise to be married and plans to be married and a date set, but you don't have to get a divorce to stop an engagement. You just need to have the talk, right? But in this case, you'd have to go through that legal process to divorce this one that you have been betrothed to. So let's get that settled. This was a very, very committed couple, quasi-covenant, almost married. And that's when Joseph discovered that she was going to have a baby, and he knew it wasn't by him. And she's claiming it's to be by the Spirit. And can you imagine what was going through his heart and mind on that day when Mary sat down and said, Joseph, I have something to tell you. And she unfolds her story. And I have no doubt she would talk about having the visit with Elizabeth. I have no doubt she would have mentioned Elizabeth's husband, Zacharias, having a visit from the angel. I have no doubt she'd mention her own visit from an angel and tell her about this miraculous thing that was being told to her, and how she believed it and how she could feel it now whenever she chose to tell him that she was going to have a baby. I have no doubt this teenage young woman was scared to death to tell her betrothed, Joseph, that she was going to have a child, and then claim an angel came and said that it would be by the Holy Spirit. And I got to tell you, I've been with no other man at all. It is by the Holy Spirit. Wow. Wow. Sent reeling, we get to verse 19 as Joseph deals with this. And the Bible tells us that Joseph, her husband, being a righteous man. And by the way, that's not a passing reference. That's an important thing. He really was apparently a man who wanted to do the right thing, wanted to please God, wanted to just do the right thing, you know? And yet he was going to have to do something that's deeper than trying to please God. He was going to have to trust God. This is the journey we really want to dig deep into, because that's our journey. My friends, there's a great book called The Cure, by the way. What if God isn't who you think he is, and neither are you? And it opens with a man. It's kind of a story, and then they unpack the principles there. Comes to a crossroads, and to the left it says pleasing God, and to the right it says trusting God, and you got to pick. What is that, a trick question, he's thinking in this opening chapter of the book? So he goes to the pleasing God side, and he discovers, he comes to an end of pleasing God, and it's performance-based Christianity. It's trying to please God, impress God, do the right thing, earn his favor, earn his love. And he went, wait a minute, that's, something's not right there. It was just, and he ends up going back and going to the trusting God road, which was less traveled. And he comes to another end. And while the other one was beautiful and everybody seemed to be doing the right thing, but it kind of felt kind of plasticky and put on and masks and stuff, here people were genuine. They were real, warts and all, trusting God in lives, your own and in others, that even with the mess, God is still working. It's a wonderful journey through that book, The Cure. I hope you get a hold of it. I've given away dozens of copies. But this is where Joseph found himself. He was a righteous man. He wanted to do the right thing. But Lord, what do I do? And it goes on to say in verse 19, not wanting to disgrace her, he planned to send her away or divorce her secretly. All right, this has happened. He's wrestling with it. She's obviously gotten pregnant. I didn't do this. All right, that unfaithfulness. The law, the harsh reading and application of the law of the day, could have had her stoned for being with another man when she was betrothed to another. It's adultery. But he was just loved her and was trying to do the right thing. Well, let me just do this quietly and let's send her away secretly. But when he had considered this in verse 20, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. Now, I'm going to stop there. This, to me, is a qualitative difference between an actual appearance of the angel Gabriel to Mary that we talked about last week and an actual appearance of an angel in the life of Zacharias that we talked about the week before. And Luke 1 has this whole story there. We're in Matthew 1 now. But here, it's in a dream that the angel of the Lord appears to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife. Okay, you still need to take her as a wife. That's that third step as opposed to engagement, betrothal, now take her as a wife. We want you to go ahead, take her as your wife. For the child who has been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Now, let me stop there a moment. This is very similar to the language we read earlier when Gabriel appeared to Mary. I am very sure in my own heart that Mary told him as much as the detail as she could. It was a life-changing, miraculous, supernatural visitation. Of course, she's going to share it with her betrothed husband-to-be. And here in the dream, the angel appears to him and confirms everything that Mary had shared with him when he first found out that she was with child, claiming to be by the Holy Spirit, leading him to want it. Put her away secretly, be merciful, but I'm going to put her away because I just can't quite grasp the reality of this and the claim that it's by God. But the angel comes to confirm it. Extraordinary. Now, verse 22. Now, all of this took place to fulfill what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall be with child, and shall bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which translated means God with us. And that's when Joseph awoke from his sleep. I love how in this story we have an angel of the Lord appearing in this dream to confirm that which Mary had already shared. But then the angel also reminds them of the prophecy that how a virgin will, or a young woman, a virgin will be with child and shall bear fruit. This is a fulfillment of it. This is God with us. It's God becoming flesh to dwell among us. And the angel covers all of that in this. And then verse 24, Joseph awoke from his sleep and did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took Mary as his wife. And there's that third step now. He went ahead and instead of putting her away quietly, he believed what the angel shared as he dreamed, and also confirming what Mary had said, weaving together the miraculous story of Zacharias and how the angel appeared to him as well, no doubt. And so he took Mary as his wife and kept her a virgin until she gave birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. Now, let's not lose sight of how extraordinarily difficult this was going to be. People that knew them knew that they were betrothed. Then the news got out as she began to show that she had a baby. And they was expecting a baby. The assumption, you know, humankind, was that they jumped the gun, shame on them, that type of a thing. To what degree they began to share that, well, actually, this is not what you think, or just, you know what, let it ride until it comes about. And then maybe go to another place away from people who knew them. And certainly we have the story of how they were by law required to go to Bethlehem because of an edict that came out by Caesar Augustus. So here you have a young man who excitedly got betrothed to a woman that he loved, had great plans to be together as unto the Lord because they were both righteous young man, young woman. And this happened. She got pregnant. And then everything became so much more difficult. The gossip, the embarrassment, the crossroads of trusting God or not. Not only that, you can't even be in a nice small hometown place. You kind of have to go away. And then they were required to go away even further. And now my pregnant wife, on the date we have to go, we don't even get a place to stay. We have to be outside. She has the baby. Oh, my goodness. What a journey. How much they had to wrestle with in this turn of events. And by the way, this is a good time to just take a step back. And we know we have some nice, lovely portrayals of the Christmas story in children's plays and even adult plays and many of the depictions of this. It kind of gives it that holy and that wonderful and that amazing and pristine kind of a feel. But it was far, far from that. It was excruciatingly difficult. Trusting the Lord was unfolding his eternal plan, his prophesied plan to take on flesh and dwelt among them. And now you have the circumstances unfolding that was filled with the challenges of being ridiculed or misunderstood and accused and looked at with skewed eyes, and then having to go and actually give birth in a stall, a smell. Now think about this. Have you ever been in an unclean horse stall or something like that? You know it is not pristine. I mean, the straw and stuff, it's stained. It's got all kinds of stuff. I won't get into the gory details. You know about them. I mean, it was hard. They were by themselves. Mom and dad were not there nearby. People that they knew were not there or nearby and helpful and supportive at all. I have no doubt. I mean, put yourself in their shoes. Lord, are you really in this? Is this really you? This is just nuts. This is not like I pictured it. And I mean, I can imagine Mary thinking, you know, I got this angel visitation and it sounded like a wonderful thing and fulfillment. And it was, and it is, but yet it's ridiculously hard. And Lord, are you still there? And Joseph, same thing. I'm trying to be a good husband and I don't even have a place for her to stay. I don't even have a clean place for her to give birth to the son. Not only that, I'm going to be the stepdad or the human dad to the Son of God or God incarnate. Hello? I mean, this was overwhelming. And yet, they continued to walk in trust. My friends, you ever have times when it seems like everything is just going nuts? I mean, nothing is going right. What you pictured in your mind would unfold and how a weekend would go or how your life would go or how your career would go or how your marriage would go or how your different children would turn out. All this, I mean, life is ridiculously mixed bag of struggles and yet joys. This is where we learn that the only stability and peace we can have, that we can depend on, is not circumstances, but it's in the Lord Himself, our eternal hope, and how He yearns for us to cultivate a trustful hope. Do you trust me? Do you trust me? I got this. I got you. Even when you can't see it, even when it seems crazy. By the way, had a crazy weekend. It was all planned last week that our oldest son and his family and our grandkids would come over to celebrate our son's birthday and also our oldest grandson's birthday. They were within 2 days of each other. Dinner all planned, gifts all planned, everything, you know. But that morning, we get a call, actually a text, when my son says, listen, we all are terribly sick. We're vomiting, diarrhea all night. We're not, obviously not going to come tonight. We don't want to give you anything. And the next day on Saturday, our oldest son, excuse me, our grandson was going to be in a play, a school play, and he had the lead role. And the plan was for us to be able to join them that evening. But he might get sick and couldn't do it. And so it was all in turmoil. Well, the day comes, good news. It was a 24-hour thing, so they were feeling better. The son who was the lead role, my grandson, their son, he didn't get the stuff, so he was able to go for it. Well, just to make a long story short, so we go out there to watch the play, and all kinds of things went wrong there. There was a big traffic jam on my way to the venue and stuff, and I was late. And then in the middle of the play, the smoke and they were using in some of the, they were doing a Christmas carol, by the way, came out and the alarms went off. They had made arrangements for the alarms not to go off in the school, but they did, and we had to evacuate. I mean, it was just all kinds of crazy stuff. And you know, there are times you just have to laugh at the absurd. Just go with the flow. Trust God in all things. I mean, it was not going at all like we expected. And yet, you trust God in the midst of all those things. And on a more serious note, what about that unexpected cancer diagnosis and the treatment you have to go through? I was talking with a friend of mine whose wife is in her journey in that, and I was asking, how is she doing physically? How is she doing emotionally? Well, mostly she's struggling. In fact, she thinks that God is punishing her with this and wondering if God is punishing her with this. And they're not full believers at this point. Been working with them, older couple. And he said, what do you think? You know, you've given me good counsel over the years and stuff. He's actually a tennis partner and been sharing portions of the gospel here and there along the way. And they've been responding. So when he asked me, what do you think? Do you think God's punishing her for something? I said, absolutely not. Jesus said, you will have tribulation in this life, but take heart, I've overcome the world. Take heart in me. The Bible also says, though the outer man is decaying, the inner man is being renewed day by day. That means our bodies are wearing out. They're temporary issued. We're meant to be eternal beings. This temporal life is but a fleeting moment, and our bodies are wearing out, decaying. Just a matter of how. For me, it's my hearing is going faster than everything else. Others, it might be joint pain or dementia or cancer. I mean, all kinds of things. It's part of life. And yet, if you're in the Lord and you trust Him in all things, He's the one that can bring you the peace in the midst of the chaos, of the craziness, of the things that you can't fully understand or grasp or sing as you try to walk through it. And that was Mary and that was Joseph. And the extraordinary trustful hope as they just kept taking one step at a time, moving forward with trusting hope, letting the Lord fill in the gaps in their hearts, letting the Lord strengthen their fragile hope, letting the Lord bless their humble hope, letting the Lord honor their trustful hope. Oh, that's the kind of God we have, my friends. You can trust Him. Didn't want you to do work stuff to please Him and try to earn His love. You already have it. He loved you so much while we were yet sinners. He died for us and wants to covenant with you. Receive that, my friends, and then walk in it once you're there. He loves you more than you can possibly imagine. Well, Lord, thank you for being our eternal hope that honors our trustful hope. Oh, may we learn to trust you even, especially when it looks bleak. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I'm Mark Gonzalez, and I hope you'll check out my website at markpg.org. Oh, until next time, fall in love with Jesus, our eternal hope.